Sassy Jack Stitchery is sponsoring this week's conversation with Joy Cobb, Chair of the Needlework Fair, the 2025 EGA National Seminar. Things are slowly improving in North Carolina, and the shop is back to its normal hours. Shipments are coming in and going out on a daily basis, so don't hesitate to order your next project online or by calling the shop. Also, be sure to get your Rise Above the Waters ornament kit, designed by Jackie DePlessis. You can order the ornament at the Sassy Jack's website, and Kim is donating all profits to the local food bank to help those in need in the Asheville area. If you're in the Asheville area and need a break from the hurricane aftermath stress, grab your stitching and head to the shop for an hour or so of needlework zen. Make it a habit to visit the Sassy Jack's site and join the Sassy Jack's Facebook group to keep up with new things that will be happening in the near future. Thanks to Sassy Jacks for sponsoring the show, and now our conversation with Joy Cobb. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr, and you are listening to Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists. Our artist this week, the chairman of the EGA National Seminar 2025, the Needlework Fair, Joy Cobb. Joy, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Holy smokes, this is a big project, huh?
Yes, it is a big project. It's a big project getting classes together, getting hotel and accommodations together. It's a little bit like herding cats, but it's very fun. It's really fun working with all the different people. And at the national level, you get to work with people from all over the country. So that's nice.
Right. Now, I know how soon teachers who are going to do classes, they have to have their stuff in well ahead of the 2024 for the 2025. So I know they then they have to design and all the things. So they're way ahead of the actual event. When do you actually start putting this together? Is it the same kind of time frame, 2 years ahead of time?
Well, let's see. I went in 2022 in June. So over 2 years ago, I met with part of the national committee in Dallas to look at hotel space. So that was really when it started. But it's getting your hotel space locked down and where you want to be, what city you want to be in. And this is so South Central region is Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana. And I think that's it. There's four or five states. So we have a big area, but it's still difficult to find a hotel that can accommodate 450 stitchers in small classrooms. So that's always a big project. And we have a company that helps us, and the Karen Andreessen has helped us for years now, helping get that all settled in. And then the next thing you do is you come up with a theme and a logo, and that, of course, has to be approved. And then you send out to teachers because they really want to know what your theme and what your logo is going to be and where you're going to be as they begin designing the classes that they're going to send in as proposals. I know that 26 is getting their proposals now, and I think they'll probably be choosing theirs early 2025. So it's at least an 18-month lead time that the faculty knows. If they're going to be teaching them. And nowadays they submit a proposal. A lot of times they haven't completely stitched the piece, but they can just submit the proposal that contains line drawings and fibers and their concept that they want, and then we can go from there, which is a little bit nicer. Used to, they had to have the whole piece ready for us to look at, but that's one of the things that technology's done for us, has made faculty selection in that way much easier.
Yeah. Well, and from the faculty, the teacher perspective, Yeah, it's not such a scramble. They're trying to do designs and classes for their own businesses, and to give them a little flexibility, I'm sure, is a welcome thing.
Right, right. Well, it's nice to not have the whole thing totally stitched and framed when you submit it as a proposal. So right. that's been very nice for them and for us also.
Yeah. It just interests me because it's something of this magnitude. Like you talk about, you got to find a hotel that can accommodate all the classes. that eliminates, I got to believe, 80% of the hotels in a 5-state area that just can't
well,
do it.
Yes, we looked at so we kind of knew we wanted to be in the Dallas area, and we looked at 4 hotels. 2 really we knew right off that they wouldn't do; they didn't have the space to accommodate us. So it was just down to 2. Yes, and that makes it, I guess, easy on one hand. You don't have to look at a lot of different things, but it's a little, sometimes can be a little confining.
Right. But, yeah. Well, and Dallas is a good option too, just in terms of travel. So easy to get to.
Yes, Dallas is very easy to get to. It's in the center of the, of the country. They have DFW is one of the busiest airports, so that makes it easy for people that have to fly. And then also, they have a great regional airport that a lot of people use. So that makes Dallas really a great place.
Excellent from that perspective. Now, we were talking here before we started recording. This is the second time that you've chaired national seminar. So you're like the veteran of veterans when it comes to this then.
Yes, I did the 2015 in San Antonio.
Oh.
And we were down on the Riverwalk in San Antonio. I personally love San Antonio. I think it's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite cities, really, in the country, and especially in Texas. So it was a lot of fun. We had a fun Stitch and Fiesta, and it was great.
Yeah. That is a great city. It really is. Yeah. And people always focus on the Riverwalk, but I've learned through business travel that there's so much more beyond the Riverwalk in San Antonio.
There's a lot more. There's a lot more.
Yeah.
It was great.
So a theme. So we do the Renaissance Fair theme. Tell me about how that comes to be and how you're going to execute that.
Well, they have the Dallas area. I think it's probably 60 miles from Dallas. Southwest of Dallas has a huge Renaissance Fair. This in 2024, they celebrated their 50th anniversary. So several of the Stitchers on the committee participate in the Renaissance Fair and knew about it nationally. I have to admit, I am not very knowledgeable about it, but apparently it's a huge trend in the country right now. People really like doing the Renaissance Fairs, and so I kind of eliminated the word Renaissance because I had to look it up every time to spell it. So we went with something a little easier.
Yeah, so. When I was making notes, I have to say I had to look it up too. Yeah, 1 N, 2 S's. I wanted 2
yes,
N's.
Yes,
yes. Yeah.
So I think we're very excited about our theme, and we love our logo. And fair is, a lot of different types of stitching. To me, that just kind of sounds like a lot of different things that'll be there, and so that's kind of how we're headed that way.
Okay, hopefully. Now it makes sense. Now it makes more sense to me. So you're going more with all types of things that would all come together for one event, all types of designs.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So
yes.
That helps the designers then when it comes to putting their stuff together.
Yes, yes. And we got some things that were very specific to the Renaissance Fairs. But then, if you didn't feel like doing that, anything fits into that.
Right. Oh, that's great, yeah. Okay, so it's November, just to make sure everybody knows, it's November 12 to 16 in 2025. Now, that's kind of late in the year, later than normal. Was that intentional, or just that's when you could get a hotel?
When I started in on this, I said I would like to see it at a different time. It has been around Labor Day, the end of August, or the mid to end of August, and a couple of times it's been on Labor Day weekend. I really wanted to get away from that. Just timing-wise. So we'll see how November works. When we did it in 2015, it was in October. I think it actually was during Halloween. Uh-huh. So we'll just see what, you know, what people think about that. Another thing, you know, today with air conditioning, this doesn't matter as much, but it's really hot in the South Central region in August.
Yes.
And November is beautiful. So I think the weather will be really nice. And
yeah.
We'll see. I know that the upcoming ones that they're working on are maybe back to August. A lot of it is that people don't realize, but a lot of it is on the availability of the hotels.
Yeah.
And, you know, what to us would be an optimal time for, to me, I'd love, you know, the first week of October. Well, that's when everybody else wants to be having their conventions also. So we've found that if we sort of plan them in off season mm-hmm. for the area, that we can work out better room rates and better food and beverage menus that are maybe not quite as much as they would be during high season.
So, yeah, I think that's it's interesting planning those events, because all those things come in are factors. Because you want to keep the cost down as much as possible. And I think people
yes.
don't realize all these little things that just nickel and dime you all the way through. And pretty soon your cost is could be much more than you realize. And time of year and what they can charge is a factor. Yeah.
Definitely. There are so many things involved in the hotel, the facility, the number of rooms that we need, large ballroom space. Now, another big expense is audio visual. All the teachers, of course, are using their iPads and right. their technology, their devices to teach their class. So that means you have to have outlets for them. You have to have screens for them. Most of them provide their own cameras now, but that's been a huge shift just in the last 10 years.
Yeah, we're in the process of registering for our own event in March. And that was one thing when we were putting things together, is every room, there's a charge for the screen. And it's like, oh, really, folks? The screen is there. We just got to pull it down. But yeah, they charge for all of that. And when you got that many classes going on, that adds up in a hurry. Yeah,
it does. We one hotel, they were charging us per outlet that we used.
No.
So that gets really difficult. One really great thing is now you can't bring a lamp with you that plugs in. You have to bring a lamp that's charged. And that just makes life so much easier for those of us putting it on. We don't have to go in and tape it down and worry about somebody tripping over the cords. Right. We don't get charged per outlet. So that's really been an added benefit. So.
Per outlet. Oh, man, that's a little over the top. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was kind of over the top. You know, like, did they have somebody going in counting how many outlets were used?
But it's an interesting thing when you look at it from a cost of electricity perspective, though.
Well,
because that many more electronic devices than you would have used, say, 15 years ago, starts to draw some power, and somebody's got to pay for that somewhere.
So they figured out a way to make the people that are using it pay for it.
Count outlets. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm most interested to see how that works out, because you found a dead time before the holidays, but then by not being in August and early September, you're away from family vacation, start of school, that kind of thing. So it when I first saw that date, I thought, boy, this might be a really good slot for people.
I think so. So we'll just see what. We'll see what people think. You know, it's not really around. It is around Veterans Day, which is one of the few holidays that's celebrated actually on the actual day.
Yeah.
So in 25, Veterans Day is a Tuesday. So that won't, you know, I think just a lot of people, when you have a 3-day weekend, that involves a lot of families and
right.
chapters want to do things on those 3-day weekends. So we'll see. We'll just have to see what people say about
it.
Hope they like it.
You got to try. You got to try.
Yes. Yes.
So with this this Renaissance theme, but it's called Needlework Fair, F-A-I-R-E. So we get the Renaissance spelling in there. How far are you going to carry this theme? Are we going to have people dressing up, or are we just going to have some decorations? How are we going to play that?
Well, I think on our website, some of the descriptions and some of the verbiage is what I would call Old English.
Right.
Using some of the terms that they use right. with the Renaissance fair things. I would love it if people dressed up. And there are several people in this area and several people in our guilds that have, you know, they spend a lot of time and effort making period costumes.
Uh-huh.
So I hope that people will feel comfortable coming and at least having something fun to wear at the banquets and maybe the opening day or something like that.
Yeah.
I do know one of my committee members is threatening to come as a wench. So, so we'll see.
Okay. All right.
I'm not coming as a wench.
No?
I might come as a queen or something.
There. So. Yeah. Yeah. Go high level. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep. Okay. And I was checking just before we started recording, before we got set up to record here. Some classes are sold out, but there's several yet that have room in them. So, because people think, oh, if I don't register on the first day, then I can't get any classes. There's still room, and then there's waiting lists for classes that are sold out. So,
yes, last year we started doing first come, first serve. So it's like you're making an airline reservation. You know, you can see what's available. You can sign up for what's available. But the better than an airline reservation is that you can put yourself on a wait list. And we found that there's a lot of movement in the classes that people, for whatever reason, have to cancel. So if you're on the wait list, then it's in the order that you registered. So you then get an email. You would then get an email, and you have, I think, 48 or 72 hours to respond to the registrar about what you want to do, if you want to drop the class that you're in and then take the class you were waitlisted for. So I would say that if there's something that's you want to take and it says waitlist, absolutely put your name on the waitlist, that will be available. Also, every teacher still has some class space available. Now, it might not be the project piece that you want, but if there's a teacher that you've really been wanting to take a class from, I know that every teacher has something available.
So I didn't realize that there's so much flexibility, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word or the word you want used in classes, but so I can sign up for a class that I say like, and the one that I really want is booked, get on that wait list. And if it opens up, then you don't mind if I switch over?
No.
Okay.
We want you to have what you wanted. So,
great.
No, we don't. In the past, it you had to contact the registrar. Oh, if a person had to, you know, fell and broke their hip and they couldn't come, then you contacted the registrar would then contact the people that she knew wanted it. But now our registration software that we use does most of it on its own. It takes you off the wait. You know, if you see, it automatically sends you an email that a spot in the class you really wanted to take is opened up and tells you to contact the registrar and she helps you get it done. So it's really, I just can't encourage people enough that if there's something you really want, definitely go ahead and sign up for something that you would like, but put your name on the wait list. So it works great.
Yeah.
It was a lot of work to transfer over to that system last year, but we've been real happy with how it's worked. I think
yeah.
people get, they don't feel discouraged when they look and see that the class is full. Just put your name on the wait list. I think a lot of people clear the wait list.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to point that out because many events, and certainly in the past, line up, get on the screen the minute registration opens. Oh, I didn't get my class, so I'm not going. Well,
right.
Wrong approach, wrong attitude now. Get on that list and you got a shot at getting in. So that's a real plus. People should be should have that in their heads when they register.
Yes. Yes, it's a great benefit now with the new system that you can actually be on the wait list and have a chance. Yeah.
Because I don't know if I have the skills for it, but that stump work.
Phoenix,
yeah. I bet that went like within 10 minutes. Yeah.
It was the first one to fill up.
It's a beautiful
piece. It's stunning. So.
Yeah. Well, just the picture. If the picture does it even half justice, it's an amazing piece.
Seeing the things in person just makes such a difference.
Right.
And that piece is just stunning, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, so well, you have a chance to sign up, see what happens.
I know. Now I know. Different approach, yeah. All right, and then we've got some virtual classes. This is kind of cool. We've got Hazel Blomkamp and Helen McCook. Oh, man, Helen McCook, both of them are amazing individuals.
Yes.
Yeah. So how is that working? Because two in September, two in October, how does that play into the whole system?
Well, they just told us what dates, how many days they wanted to teach and what dates that they wanted. We realized early on that we couldn't do it after seminar because of the holidays, and it would be until the middle of January, really, or later, probably into February before they could. People have recovered from the holidays and gotten back into stitching. So,
yeah.
They're going to do them beforehand, and they'll be virtual. And both of these teachers have taught virtually quite a bit, and everybody just. Really enjoys their classes. So we're very excited that they're going to each teach two different classes.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And people should look at the schedule and the events because, they're each going to do two, and we've done shows with both of them. We've done a couple shows with Helen McCook. They are absolutely amazing designers, and everything I've heard about their teaching ability is that it is absolutely top-notch. They are... whether live or virtually, that's a real plus to be able to take a class from either one of those. Yeah.
Yes. And I think this is right. I think we record it. And so then the recording of the class, if you're a student, that you are eligible for a recording of the class for however long they keep it online. So that's nice that you can go back and refer to the, some of the things that were said in class.
Yeah.
We have several people that have taken their virtual classes and they just really rave about how wonderful they are.
Yeah. I've heard the same thing. Yeah. More than once. Yeah. Well, and that's, when we look at, can I get to the national seminar? I've got family obligations. I can't get out of work. This is a way to participate in the annual activities with top-notch teachers and not try to...
Yes. I mean, they're just, life gets in the way of our stitching sometimes, and you just can't be at the things. Or if you could easily take 5 days of classes at the seminar in Dallas and still take both of these take four virtual classes. So
I thought about that, too. Like, line them up. Let's go.
Yeah. That would certainly give you plenty to do for 2026, for sure. You wouldn't run out of stitching.
No, that would fill it up. So those, and the registration for those is on the EGA. All this stuff is in the events section at egausa.org. So you just go there.
Yes.
Click on events, national seminar, and then it's all laid out. Very easy to find. You've got these bars that go across the screen that identify each of the sections. You click on the plus on the right, and bang, there's everything you need to know. It's the user interface is just really well done. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad to hear you say that. Yep. We worked really hard that to give everybody the best advantage on the using the website and registering on the website. And if you have a question or you come up against a stumbling block, our registrar, Joanne Jackson, her name and email address is everywhere, and she's more than happy to help you. So if you'd like to talk to somebody, feel free to do that also.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm one of those people. Every now and then, I just really want to talk to an actual human and get things sorted out.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I myself am like that. But the information is there for you to just to use.
Right. No, it's well done. It's just so easy to find what you need. Now, talk about the mini classes. There's so many classes. That's the other part. As I was getting ready for this, I just realized that we always focus on the core classes that are going to happen during the event that you sign up for, but there's so many other options beyond that. And so we've got, 10 mini classes that are being offered?
Yes. Yes, they're going to be on Tuesday before the regular classes start. They're in the evening. So if you want to come in on Tuesday, then you can be there in time for the mini classes. They're a couple hours each. Each class is a couple of hours. We have lots of talented stitchers in South Central region. So they've come together and they've gotten all kinds of techniques. If there's a technique that you have been wanting to learn, this is a great time to just try a little piece of it. A lot of the pieces are finishable in class at night. There are a variety of techniques. And then on Tuesday also, before classes start, we're going to have some tours. We're working on our tours now. Hopefully it'll involve some of the museums that are close by and their textile collections with their curators for that. So plan on coming early. Come on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And the mini classes, and this year you can register for the mini classes through the EGA registration. In the past, this region itself has sponsored the mini classes, and the registration has been separate. But this year we're trying to see how it works to have it all in one place. So, yeah. And I know there's plenty of spaces in the mini classes. I think that's something people add on as they start really getting their plans in order. I'd like to go. I'm going to go on Tuesday, and I'll have this. I can take this little class and kind of get settled in.
So. Yeah, yeah. When I checked a couple of days ago, all of them were available.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that, there's another to me that I guess I didn't realize there were mini classes, but when I saw them on the EGA site, that's another thing. I mean, I just looked at when I got done there. Starting in September, you can literally immerse yourself in projects all the way through. Yeah. And then then during the holidays, tell your family to take a hike. I got stitching to do. Yeah. Yeah. I'm busy.
Yes. Yeah. We get you set. Well, you'll be set for the holidays for sure.
And then a new thing this year that we talked with
Lee Peacock.
Lee, about is the Sampler University. Now, that's pretty exciting because that brings in a chance for non-members.
Absolutely. We're very excited about Sampler University. It's a total totally a different concept than the actual seminars. It's on 2 days. You sign up for both days. It includes lunch and the pieces. And the teachers are going to teach I think you wrote it down here.
We've got Sylvia Stecker.
I think she's on Saturday. Yeah, she's on Saturday. And then Becky Nolan with Lucy Bean is on Sunday, and they're teaching some pieces. It's sort of what I think of as a retreat that some of the shops have kind of done, where you come and you just you get the piece, the teacher walks you through parts of it. There'll be some vendors there, and you don't have to register for the seminar. You don't have to pay the registration fees. We would love for you to stay in the hotel. because that helps us out, but you don't right. have to. I think, and it's also think it's a great opportunity, in particular, if you really like doing counted thread, because they're both counted thread pieces. There's a lot of people that love samplers, so that's a great opportunity there. I visualize if you have a sampler group in your hometown that you participate with, that y'all make plans and you come just to sampler you. And that we're just really trying to reach some of the stitchers that are out there across the nation that don't think about coming to seminar. There's nothing about it that really appeals to them, but they would love to do something on a weekend as kind of a retreat, more of a retreat focus. So that's, we're trying, hopefully we'll reach the sampler ladies, sampler stitchers, and people that really just want to do something on the weekend and not make a commitment to a full seminar.
Yeah. Well, and they're two very different projects. I mean, that sampler is absolutely stunning. That is just a beautiful piece.
Yes,
you know.
Yes.
And then the sewing roll, that's just a neat project and a chance to learn how to finish a project rather than...
Yes, yes. And that's a wonderful finishing piece. Yes, for sure. Yeah. They're both lovely pieces. And we're very excited. These are two teachers that I think do some things nationally, and they have a great website presence, but haven't really been involved in EGA. So we're really excited that they're going to be a part of our seminar, and we just hope everybody signs up. It's going to be fun.
Well, it's important to emphasize too that this is open to non-members. The national seminar, you need to be an EGA member. But this is a chance for you to experience the seminar atmosphere and just some of the seminar and not be a member. And then, and as I always say, and why aren't you a member? But that's another topic.
Well,
but it's a chance to get yourself connected and see what it's all about, and do a couple of really neat projects as part of a big event. I think it's a great idea. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're really excited about it, and hope that there will be people that we hope there'll be a lot of people that want to come and just give it a try, you know. And talking about not having to be an EGA member, really being an EGA member is you get benefits being an EGA member at seminar, but the cost of being an EGA member is so. To me, so minimal that, why, like you said, why wouldn't you be a member?
Right.
They have an awesome website. I've been just, as I've been doing this job, looking at some of the things on the website that I had no idea there were so many different interesting things of different, or a variety of techniques, a variety of teachers, that they've just really, EGA's really bumped up its website. And I encourage everybody, whether you're a member or not, to go in and see what all is available just on the website.
Yeah, it'll chew up a few hours. Trust me.
Yeah, at least, yeah. Well, and you can add a few more stitching projects while you're there.
Easily.
I went to the one on cross-stitching journals, and there were five different pieces of stitchers that had developed ways of journaling throughout the year with a counted thread design. It was just fascinating.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. I kind of got lost looking for something else, and all of a sudden I was on that. It was great.
All right. Now what you've done here is now I got to make a note and I got to go look that up. I have not seen that. So now it's going to be your fault. That's how that's
going
to play out.
Well, and you won't be disappointed.
Okay. But you make a good point about EGA. I mean, we're just going to shill for them a little bit. You know, Embroiderers Guild, and immediately, that's all surface embroidery. No, it's pick a technique. There's something for you there. It's in that gallery on the website. I mean, you can just sit there for an afternoon and enjoy that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and their little mini projects that they have, and their petite projects, and actually, if you're involved in a local chapter, the resources that they have for local chapters to help you help your chapter be successful, it's very well done.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing, now I'm a member at large, and for a lot of people, going to a monthly meeting, a local guild monthly meeting is difficult, or don't have time, don't want to travel at night. There's the whole list of things. Doesn't, none of it matter. You can be a member at large, take advantage of all the things, and that's what works best for me in my schedule, is just to be a member at large, and then I have access to EGA, and then I don't have that monthly meeting that I invariably can't get to. So,
I think the member at large membership in EGA is really growing for all of the reasons that you mentioned.
Yeah.
You in several groups, they do a Zoom. They'll have chapters will have Zoom, and a lot of them, the chapters are getting members at large coming in just because they enjoy sitting with a group to stitch and maybe do their special project. Members at large is a great way to be a part of EGA.
Yeah, it's worked perfectly for me. It's just ideal. Yep. All right.
What is your favorite thing that you like about that? Do you have a little group that you meet with all the time,
or
you just drop in?
No, I don't have anything particular. I spend too much time on the website.
A black hole.
Yeah. Well, but for me, oftentimes it's just from the podcast perspective, it's a good source for guests.
Yes.
And I see a design. Oh, who did that? Well, maybe we should talk to that person. And
or a technique. Maybe we need to see what's going on with this technique. I've noticed several things in the last couple of months that I didn't know who the teacher was. I didn't know what the technique really was. It's very interesting just finding out some new things.
Yeah. Well, that's when we first started this podcast, 8 years ago, 7 years ago, whenever it was. One of our first concerns was we're going to run out of guests to talk to. And then about 2 months into it, we realized, if you look at it from a global perspective, we're never going to run out of people to talk to. Because there's always somebody new who's doing something unique, and we need to hear about that. And
Yes.
Yeah, and they invariably show up at EGA. So, okay, when the last one I went to was in Chicago. And there was people sitting around everywhere stitching in the hotel lobby, and so you can do that. That's to me, I always thought that was cool because I've got some downtime. I'm just going to plop down in a chair in the lobby and just stitch, and maybe I have a friend with me, or maybe I'm just in a corner by myself. Whatever works. But now we also have round tables that people can sign up for. How does that work?
Well, in the past, it's replaced what we called studio time. So maybe you were there. There was a class you really wanted to take on Wednesday, Thursday, a 2-day class, and then you wanted to take something on Saturday, Sunday. You want to do sample or you on Saturday, Sunday. So you have Friday as a downtime day. So you would sign up for studio time and go, and just it's a room specifically set up for. To work on whatever you want. So the way that it turned out in Atlanta, they had volunteers that were always in there. They would have drawings for little prizes. She had a couple every day. She had several, like somebody came in for a beading demonstration. Here's how you start a scissor swap, or here's a simple pattern. I'm going to get you started. And then I'll be here for an hour if you have any questions. So there was also some opportunities for some learning. But it's very casual. Maybe you sit with a friend. I met two or three people at the table that I sat at several different days. And some people have really a large project they really want to get a lot done on. So you can set up and... if you wanted, you could leave your setup there, your little nest that you made for stitching. You could leave that, or you could take it home, take it to your room. It's just a nice place to not be sitting in your room, but being in the community, in the stitching community, and talking to people what they're doing in their chapters, what they're doing as a member at large, what they like, what they don't like, but also an opportunity if you have last year you took the Phoenix and you want to finish it this year, then you can go down to Stitching Time and work on your Phoenix. Or so that it's the same concept as having a place for everybody to stitch if you want within the community. It's just set up. It's just administered a little bit differently.
Okay.
But it's very nice. People seem to really like it in Atlanta. So we'll be doing that again.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we got some pop-up shops coming up. How's that going to work?
Oh, my gosh. That was so popular. In Atlanta, it was another thing that Atlanta did. They got some vendors in the vendors that liked it the most were vendors that don't have a box store, that only work online. And the vendors loved meeting all the people that they've been working with all this time, all these years. They're like, oh my gosh, my customers have been coming by. So it was open. This year it's going to be open at 9 to maybe 7, I think. So it's open after class. They're open during lunchtime. I'm not sure what vendors will be there. We, of course, will contact all kinds of vendors. If you have a vendor, something that you would like to sell, please, you can register for it on the registration, on the EGA registration for EGA 2025. Several people brought all of their inventory. It was just great. And the stitchers loved having a place to shop. You know, we all love to shop, so
you really didn't need to. You didn't need to say that.
No, I know. But we used to have a big, huge boutique in the. I think in the old days we had a big, huge boutique, and that model has really not worked as well in the last couple of years at Seminar. So this was a. It's also sort of the pop-ups also serve as a. Replacement for what we called merchandise night. And one night during the seminar, we would have vendors from all over, usually they were fairly local, would come and just be there for 2 hours. Well, they would bring all of their things and they were only there for 2 hours. And it would either be it would just be a madhouse. So the vendors were very happy with being able to bring their things. They have, I think they pay by the table. And they have a nice space. They can sit there with their things all day. They can go grab a bite to eat or look in on some of the classes or go look at the exhibits and yet have their inventory there to sell. Everybody really enjoyed that. So we will definitely be doing that again this in November.
Excellent. Yeah, that in Chicago when we were there, that merchandise night, that was wow.
Wild.
That was an experience.
Yes. And I think that this, the vendors for sure were very happy about it. And so were the stitchers. They liked having some place that they could go. They'll be open Wednesday through Sunday morning, I think, or Sunday afternoon. So they just liked having a place all that was available the whole time they were at seminar.
Yeah.
I myself went 5 or 6 times. So it was great.
Yep. Yeah, that merchandise night, I made the mistake of identifying something I wanted and not buying it on the spot. Gone.
Yeah.
Nice try, buddy.
Well, I can't promise that won't happen with the pop-up shops, but...
Yep. Now, I assume that there will also be some kind of a list of other things we can do in Dallas while we're there, restaurants, maybe some needlework shops, the whole... I mean, Dallas, for crying out loud, there's got to be a million things.
Well, there are a lot of things to do. The downtown area has got several really nice museums, and the hotel is just on the edge of downtown. So there's several nice museums there. I think November is a time of the year when the theaters are going. They have great theater, a great concert hall, and so all of those things will be available. We're already working on our newsletter. And we will just pack it full of information about various places that you can go in the area. One thing that's close that that's a very popular destination site is the JFK exhibit. And that's a wonderful museum. And most of the stitchers are, can remember, that's in it. You know, that's one of those historical dates in all of our lives that we all remember. So that's a really great museum, very popular. Then I think one night we're going to do a medieval times, which is where they actually have the horses and the jousting and people go in costume. So I think that's going to be on Thursday or Friday night.
Okay.
So we'll have, that'll be an opportunity to do that. And like I said, we'll definitely be doing tours on Tuesday. It's a little far out before we can really get those planned. So information on that'll be coming out right after the first of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That
medieval times. Yeah. If you've never been to one of those, that's an experience. That's a good experience. Yeah. A lot of fun. Yep.
I think it'd be fun to go with adults. I mean, I've been, you know, it's birthday parties for 7-year-old boys. So I think going with a bunch of adults would be really fun.
That's a good point, because I've been twice now, and both times it's been with kids. And to go with adults would be an experience. Yeah. Different. Yeah.
And then the shops. We have, I bet within a 60-mile radius of the hotel, we have at least 10 shops that some are cross-stitch, some are counted thread, some are mostly needlework, with some beautiful shops. So we'll be contacting those shops and hopefully having we'll have a lot of information about the shops in the in the newsletters for everybody to know about those. But there are some really nice shops that are within 10 miles of the hotel for sure.
Okay.
And then there's an outer rim that's more 60 miles, but definitely plan on coming early or staying late so you can hit all the shops.
Yeah. That was what was coming into my head, was tack on a day or two before or after and experience, especially if you've never been to Dallas, experience Dallas. It's quite a city. Yeah.
Yes, right. It is. And then, even Fort Worth, which is 20 miles away, has, they also have some wonderful museums. Both cities have beautiful botanical gardens that would be beautiful that time of year. So there's a lot, there is a lot to do, if you get tired of stitching.
Yeah. If you do. Yeah. Yep. All right. First time people to a national seminar. What do we need to bring? I mean, what kind of prep work ahead of time? Do we need to bring the stand and all the pieces, or what has been your experience in terms of check luggage gets expensive. So how many pieces?
I think there's two different kinds of seminar attendees. There's the ones that come and they show up with one little needle, with one little necessary bag that has their scissors and some needles and their thimble in it. And then there are others that show up with their lights and their stands and all of their accoutrements that they need, like at their little nest at home. So it really kind of depends on what you want to bring, and like you said, how many bags you want to check if you're flying, and or if you're driving, you can bring whatever you want. So I feel like we do a really nice job on the website, and then the teachers send out letters probably 2 months before the actual seminar, and they're very specific about, you know, bring metallic scissors and bring really sharp pointed scissors, bring scissors that are your everyday that you can cut paper with. If you need frames, they're very specific about the frame size, or we're going to be lacing this up, we'll do that in class. If there's basting, then you'll get, the teacher will send you the part of the kit that needs to be basted, or if there's any preliminary work. I know we have two classes on finishing, which One of our SER members is teaching. She's done it for us numerous times within the region. She's just terrific, Kim Hollyfield. And so with those, you bring pieces that are already stitched and ready to be finished. And I think she's doing some ornaments, some stand-up figures, maybe a stuffed figure. I'm not exactly sure. I don't remember what all. She did the class for us last year, and they were just great. And yeah. But so she would be very specific about. I know she's very specific about what size of a piece you need to bring to finish, and you know how if it should be blocked before you come. And that I think the teachers and the seminar as a whole are pretty specific about what to bring.
Yeah.
A light that doesn't plug in needs to be a rechargeable light. If you need a magnifying, then all of those things. So,
yeah.
And we'll have pop-up shops. So if you forget something, you can just run down to the pop-up shop and get it.
Perfect. Just perfect.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. No, that, and I think that's a good point in there that you made. If there's advanced work for the class you're taking, make the time ahead of time to get that advanced work all done. Don't show up scrambling to do it the night before. Get it done right, so that you, when you come to that class, you are ready to go and you're not, oh, I just got 10 more stitches to do. No, have it all done. Just have it all set up. Yeah.
You'll well, that's true because, I mean, you don't want to be in your room trying to finish that up when you could be doing some fun seminar things. And
right. It's
really... Being considerate of the teacher and the other students in the class to have it finished when you get there.
Yeah.
But all of that is all of that information that needs to be done is furnished by the teachers, and of course we're always there to help if you have any questions.
And I think that's another good point. I'm going to make a point when you weren't making a point. Is we talk about all the classes and the things to do and so on and so forth. Above all of this, a national seminar should be a fun time to be with other stitchers and to have conversations and learn what other people are doing and just to relax and enjoy needlework. It's not a scramble from class to class and this event to that event, but it's come and enjoy it. Yeah.
I think that's true. And we were talking about this stitching time and how that's a great place to stitch. But I think in the last 3 or 4 years, I've noticed at the national seminars that people just sit in the lobby or they go to the restaurant and will sit with somebody else that's sitting there stitching. It's a great opportunity to sit with somebody you don't know, or if you'd like to have a friend that you would enjoy stitching while you're there. The Anatole, where the seminar is in Dallas, has gorgeous open spaces and public spaces, and it has a world-renowned art collections of Asian art. And the lighting is beautiful. They have lots of natural lighting, and it's a terrific place just to spend an afternoon in the lobby stitching,
yeah,
and visiting with friends. So
yeah,
I think
yeah. I just think that should be kept in the top of your mind is you're traveling
yes.
to do all this, but make sure you have fun. Make sure when you go home,
yeah.
it was just a fun
Absolutely.
Time. Yeah.
I love having a good time and I love my guests having a good time. So I can promise you that the Needlework Fair will be a fun time and a casual time and a time to get together with old friends, make some new friends. We always have a large percentage of our seminars that are first-timers, and we go out of our way to hopefully help them feel comfortable and want to come back and participate in producing future seminars.
Yep.
So, I do think that's one of the main reasons that you continue going to a seminar. When I first started going to seminars 40 years ago, it was because there was a very specific class or a very specific project that I wanted to take. And now I don't really want those things to get in the way of my being with my friends and enjoying
right.
just being with other stitchers and just enjoying the downtime of being away from life and just being people that like to stitch.
Yeah. Yeah. Go and enjoy yourself. All right, Joy,
yes.
thanks so much. Now, November 12 to 16 in Dallas, that's when the event is, when the national seminar is. Registration open now.
Yes, it's now open.
Yep. Classes.
Go.
Yep. EJUSA.org. Register for classes. Get on a wait list if it's one that you want. Get on the wait list because there's a chance you'll be able to have it. Advanced classes, mini classes, all of it. Yeah, what a fun time.
Well, and if you have friends that you think might be interested in the Sampler U, please look at that closely. Also, you can do Sampler U and you can do the virtual classes if you want to. Gosh, you could take 7-8 days of class.
Yep.
Have plenty of stitching for the rest for the next 6 months.
Right. Yep. So much. Joy, thanks so much for doing this. Encourage people to go to egausa.org and spend some time. Yep.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me today.
All right. And thanks to everyone for listening.